Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to rightly seat us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
My original list of potential justices include many of our nation's brightest legal minds, such as Bill Pryor, Amy Coney Barrett, and Thomas Hardiman, outstanding people. Like those distinguished individuals, the 20 additions I am announcing today would be jurists in the mold of Justices Antonin Scalia, Clarence Thomas, and Samuel Alito. Their names are as follows.
That's President Trump announcing Wednesday his list of future Supreme Court candidates should he serve a second term. Well, people were mocking it. People were glad to hear it. Some of those on the list began tweeting things about Roe v. Wade. In addition to that, there's an abortion regulation case having to do with an abortion pill before the Supreme Court. And The Hill did a feature on the new president of Planned Parenthood. We're going to talk about all of those issues. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Carol Tobias is our guest. She's president of National Right to Life. Carol, welcome.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be on.
So President Trump yesterday announced a list of potential Supreme Court nominees for what he hopes will be his second term. What did you make of that list?
It was a very good list. President Trump is trying very hard to make sure that his nominations for the Supreme Court will be men and women who truly believe in and respect our U.S. Constitution. They are not going to look at a case and decide what their personal beliefs are and try to turn that into law. So he released a list of highly qualified men and women. Some were U.S. senators. Some are on the circuit court or federal district judge benches. Some are working in the Justice Department or have worked there. He's got a pretty good variety. And also, this is an addition to his current list. I mean, he created a list in 2016. Gorsuch and Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court were on there, and he is now just adding more names to it, saying, I will select someone from this list in an order to reassure his supporters that his nominees are going to be men and women who truly believe in the Constitution rather than making their own laws.
Talk about the Trump administration's essentially overhaul of the federal judiciary over the last 4 years.
Oh, they've been doing a fantastic job. As he has frequently noted in some of his speeches, there were a lot of vacancies on the federal benches when he came into office, and they are doing to make sure that all the vacancies are filled. He has so far appointed 53 of 179 members of the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. That is a critical area because most court cases might, you know, end up at the circuit court. But the Supreme Court takes so few cases that what the circuit courts decide usually ends up becoming the final decision. So he has appointed about 30% of all circuit court judges, which is just amazing and very reassuring for the future. He has also appointed almost 25% of all just federal district judges. And if you've got men and women who truly look at the law the way it's written and say, I may or may not like this, but this is the way it's supposed to be, and they go forward, you have a lot more confidence in those decisions. And this has just been a tremendous advantage having President Trump make those kinds of nominations for the past 4 years.
With respect to the president's nominations for the U.S. Supreme Court that he has made, are you confident in the generally pro-life direction of the Supreme Court majority?
I am. We've had some presidents in the past who appointed judges and they were afraid to really ask too many questions to find out what their political philosophy or judicial philosophy is. And we've had some disappointments. You know, David Souter, Anthony Kennedy, you know, there have been several. We're not seeing those kinds of mistakes in this administration. They know exactly what they're doing. They know what kind of judges they want to appoint, and they're doing a very good job of getting those nominations before the U.S. Senate.
In other Supreme Court news, the media are reporting that the Trump administration wants to, quote, force abortion patients to have unnecessary surgeries in bringing the case FDA v. American College of OBGYNs. What are they talking about?
That was such, to me, a bizarre way of phrasing it. The abortion industry has, for many, many years, wanted to be able to just send abortion pills to women through the mail or let them pick it up at a pharmacy. And, you know, the pro-life movement has been very firm saying you can't do that because there are some problems with these drugs. Not only do women, babies die, but women have severe complications and problems with them as well. So many years ago, the Food and Drug Administration set up what they call REMS, Risk Evaluation and Mitigation Strategy. And they said, you know, we're trying to do this to keep everybody safe, you know, keep the women safe. You have to get your prescription from a doctor who has a chance to talk to you about the possible complications that could arise from taking this pill. The abortion industry wants to get rid of those REMS. They want to get rid of any safety precautions that the FDA has put in place. They think some manufacturer, whether it's in this country or overseas, should be able to just send pills to the women in the mail so that they can perform do-it-yourself abortions. And it hasn't been going through except now with the corona pandemic. The abortion industry went back to the FDA saying, look, it's not safe for these women to be going out. They shouldn't be going to the doctor's offices. So they need to get that pill. And they found a judge who issued a nationwide injunction so that the women do not have to go seek a doctor's knowledge and information before getting those pills. So Vox is now trying to say that the FDA can keep limits on the abortion pill because the other alternative is a surgical abortion, which is still happening. So instead of this whole debate being how do you keep women physically safe as much as possible when they take the abortion pill, the opponents are trying to turn it on its head saying, well, because there are limits, she has to get the surgical abortion, which may not be as safe.
So this is kind of interesting that we've been warned by pro-abortion forces for years that if we even touch Roe v. Wade, women will be taking greater risks to obtain abortion. And they're apparently willing to have women take greater risks in order to attain abortions.
They are. We know that in this country right now, almost 4 million unborn children have died because of the chemical abortion pill. We know that 24 women who took this abortion pill have died. We know that more than 4,000 so-called adverse maternal reactions have occurred. That means women have reported hemorrhages, severe hemorrhaging, excruciating abdominal pain, serious life-threatening issues. You know, this isn't just taking an aspirin. And these women need to know that there could be some problems. You know, Students for Life is calling this toilet bowl abortions because, unfortunately, many times the woman is finding the product of this abortion in her toilet bowl. It might be in the shower or the bathtub. This is not something that you can do or take easily. And yes, for the abortion industry to say, let's get rid of all these safeguards, doesn't surprise me because they really don't care about women. They just want dead babies. But they're being very vocal about it.
How should the Supreme Court rule in this case?
I think the case before the Supreme Court is going to be whether or not to stay the injunction. If the Supreme Court stays the injunction, that means the judge's decision doesn't stand and the FDA regs have to stay in place and women cannot get the abortion pill mailed to them for the do-it-yourself. So I certainly hope that the Supreme Court will stay the lower court decision on this.
The Hill recently did a feature on Planned Parenthood's new president, Alexis McGill Johnson. What did you make of that feature?
It was a very nice puff piece, made her sound and look very good. It was very encouraging because, of course, she's a woman of love and compassion, and she's only trying to help women. We're used to this. They did that all the time with Cecile Richards when she was previous president. And I have not met McGill Johnson. She may be a nice woman. She's probably, I'm sure, very smart, very capable to take over such a large organization. But she has the wrong philosophy. She thinks the organization should be killing unborn children, and she wants to do everything she can to expand that part of their business.
Tell us about the recent, more controversial history surrounding the presidency of Planned Parenthood.
Well, their founder was Margaret Sanger, and they have been very proud of her. That's the name of the Planned Parenthood abortion facility in New York. That's kind of their flagship organization in New York. But she was a eugenicist. You know, back in the early 1900s, she was pushing birth control because minorities and poor people shouldn't be having kids. She spoke before a women's auxiliary of the Ku Klux Klan. So she has a very eugenicist, racist background. And Planned Parenthood has now, after more than 100 years, finally admitted that she's probably more of a drag on the organization, a stain on their record. So they are, you know, removing her name from their buildings and trying to downplay her attitudes.
And most recently, the immediate successor of Cecile Richards was Leanna Wynn, who there seemed to be, well, to put it mildly, some miscommunication between President Wynn and her organization. What happened there?
Wynn was trying to, I think, bring more of an overall healthcare perspective to the organization and to their facilities. But the board of Planned Parenthood was definitely more interested in fighting for abortion, expanding access to abortion, building new abortion facilities so that they could kill more babies. Dr. Wynn was a medical doctor who I think really was maybe trying to bring in more different types of services, but the organization wasn't interested. They wanted to kill babies.
What should we know then, given the kind of the gentle glove with which the Hill treated Alexis McGill Johnson, what should we know about her?
She's determined. In the story, she was giving a little bit of her background about how her parents were, you know, when she was growing up, they were involved in the civil rights fight for, you know, rights for African Americans. So now she, in this special time, is trying to blend health care and abortion with equal rights for African Americans, and just kind of makes her sound like she is just this Renaissance woman. And like I said, I haven't met her. Maybe she is. But her bottom line is still expanding an organization that kills babies and hurts women.
Johnson has vowed to eliminate the Hyde Amendment if Joe Biden is elected president of the United States. What would that mean?
That would mean that our tax dollars are used to pay for abortions for women on Medicaid. There have been several studies over the past few years showing that because our tax dollars were not being used through Medicaid to pay for abortions, more than 2 million human beings, Americans, are alive because their mothers gave birth instead of ending their lives. So we would have our tax dollars paying to kill babies.
In that vein, what would a President Biden do with Title X funding for abortion?
Title X is the U.S. family planning program that has been in existence since, I believe, the 60s. I wouldn't swear on that, but I think it goes back to the 60s. But it's been back and forth as to whether or not organizations who perform abortions can receive Title X family planning resources. The Trump administration came out very strongly and said, if you receive Title X family planning funding, you must use it for true family planning, which basically is going to be birth control and some other things, but you cannot be in the same location as an abortion facility. You cannot be in a place with someone who kills babies, and you also cannot refer for abortions using that Title X funding. Planned Parenthood decided that they would rather give up many millions of dollars than follow those rules, so they have pulled out of the program. But Joe Biden will remove the regulations that the Trump administration has in place. So Planned Parenthood would once again get to use Title X funds to perform and refer for abortions.
McGill Johnson talks about building a pro-sexual reproductive health majority on the Supreme Court. What does that mean?
I am not quite sure. Just in broad terms, I would say that when they're looking at pro-sexual reproductive health, I don't know if I'd say it's in crude terms, but I think it's kind of like you can have sex with anybody you want in any manner you want with no consequences. I think that's kind of an overall broad statement, but that's what they're looking for. And they want judges on the Supreme Court who will uphold a lot of the standards and behaviors that we would probably not approve of.
Finally, then, how politically active is this organization, Planned Parenthood?
Unfortunately, Planned Parenthood is very active. They are talking about the millions and millions of dollars that they are going to spend in elections, and I have no doubt that they will do that. I don't know that the final dollar amount has been settled and how much they're raising, but they are very active in the presidential race. They want Joe Biden elected. They are trying to remove Mitch McConnell and pro-life Republicans from the Senate so that they can have Chuck Schumer in charge of the Senate, which would affect the bills that pass and the judges that are put forward to the federal court system. And they are working hard in many states to elect pro-abortion governors and legislators because the states have been doing a fantastic job of passing pro-life legislation. So they're now going after state legislators because Planned Parenthood doesn't want to see all these laws coming up through the court system to protect babies.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life. You can find out more about National Right to Life under the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Carol, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a great evening.
When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, September the 10th, it's time to go through some listener email. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September will help you speak God's Word with boldness and love. It's titled, Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or find out more about Speaking Boldly at issuesetc.org. Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day by Dr. Ed Grimmenstein. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040.
To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.